Let us joy and blessing to be gathered together in this way. To see each of your faces, to gather together in this way is a special blessing. I want to welcome each one to this service. Trust that God will be glorified and that our lives can be enriched and changed through being here today. So I'd also like to just thank God for the opportunity that we have to do this and to be together. I'd like to maybe, I know Brother Jones just prayed, I might just, if we could just bow our heads and maybe we'll pray here briefly. Heavenly Father, I too just lift up my voice to give thanks to you this morning. Father, we worship you this morning. We thank you for your presence this morning. We thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit, Father, here in our midst this morning. Thank you for each one who's here this morning. Thank you for each soul, Father, each soul that's here, Father, created by you and for you, Lord. And your call. We thank you for your call upon each soul, Father. Thank you for what you have done for us, Father. And as we remember today, Father, the things that you have done for us, Father, we only speak of them in part, Father. We could never be done. We could never finish telling what great things you have done for us. And this morning, Father, we just ask that you would give grace here as we share your word, Father. You would speak to our hearts and bless our time together here. We worship, praise, and honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's truly a special day here, special time together. Thank God for it. And today I'd like to preach. I know some time ago at a communion service, I had preached a message on the blood of Christ. And today I'd like to preach a message here that I've titled, The Bread of Life. And so you pray for me. We have some scriptures we'd like to go through. We'll begin by turning to John chapter 6, and then we'll go from there. You're going to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 6. So I want to thank you, Brother Jonas, for those thoughts this morning. Those thoughts on remembering, that's what we'd like to do today. Been encouraged in my own heart, the Lord working in my own heart and life this week, and I'm thankful this morning for the bread of life. You thankful for the bread of life this morning? If you're alive this morning in Jesus Christ, you're thankful for the bread of life this morning. The Lord is real. The Lord is good. He has done great things for us, and I trust that we can remember some of those today. And we'll read a few verses here in John chapter 6, very familiar verses. I won't read the whole chapter. We could, but the account here is that there was a great miracle happened. Jesus had multiplied loaves and fed a multitude, and he had with just a few loaves and with just a little bit, he had multiplied it and he had fed all of them. And there was so much that he had, there was a great quantity left over. And that's the way that the Lord works. He's not, Lord is not holding back on us. He gives abundantly. He gives abundantly. When we're starving, it's not his fault. When we're lacking, it's not because of him. He gives abundantly, and that's what he did here. And then afterwards they came, and they're still seeking him. And he told them in verse 26, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not Not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. And we'll go down to verse 31 here. He says, they said to him, verse 30, they said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. We'll go down to verse 47. Just for the sake of time, it'd be a blessing to read all of this, but we'll go down to verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. And he said again, I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is that bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh his blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As a living Father sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Hallelujah. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Joyful words this morning. Let's say an encouragement to our hearts. But here we have reference. The people made reference to Moses, and they were trying to discern if this Jesus, who he was, if he's for real, and they're trying to discern all these things. And of course, their faith was in Moses, so to speak. They had Moses was their great leader, and they knew that way back there, God was with us. And so they were still hanging on to those things. And Jesus told them, you know, it was one of their stories. It was one of their accounts, one of their things that they remembered. And they observed the Passover and all those things. But Jesus looked at them and he said, your fathers did eat that manna and they died. Your fathers ate that manna and they died. And we'll read on here a little further. Many of them died, not just a physical death, but they died. God was displeased with them and they died, though they had eaten that manna. And we have something better today. We have something better today. But it's a very common situation. It's a common thought of that we would like to have God with us. We want God with us because of what he can maybe do for us. And they said, Lord, give us some of that bread. We'd like to have some of that bread, which we'll never hunger again. Give us some of that bread. And then he told them, well, I am that bread. I am that bread. I am that bread of life. I am that living bread. And we read, if you would read the rest of the chapter, most of them turned and walked away. And it's still that way today. It's still that way. Many would like the benefits of God. They would like all those things that God could possibly give them, but not many are willing to come and eat the living bread that will give them eternal life. Will give them eternal life and live forever, never die. You know, he said here in verse 55, he said, my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Indeed it is. Amen? Indeed it is. Indeed it is a promise of eternal life. a promise of eternal life, eternal provisions unto eternal life we have today in Jesus Christ. Eternal food and drink. What a blessing this morning. We are a blessed people. We are a blessed people in Jesus Christ. So we'll get another perspective on this. You know, the people were looking at as many times happens with people, and I think of that with our children. You know, we have stories too. We have stories of deliverance and stories of the great things that God has done. I look back at the last 20 years, just doing some reflecting and thinking of the great things that God has done in our this local congregation and this body, and the blessings that we've experienced in the. And I was reflecting on some of those things, and I was thinking that God forbid that our children 30 or 40 years from now would say, well, God was with our fathers way back there. Our God, yeah, he helped our fathers way back there. Yes, may they always remember those things, but may they find him living bread, to be their living bread in their day. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 is kind of a passage I'd like to share some thoughts out of here today. 1 Corinthians 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to examine this story a little bit, the story of the manna. We'd like to just briefly here, I don't want to take too much time. But in chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, Paul gives a little different perspective. Paul gives a little bit different perspective on those things that happened back there. And he gives an account here. He looks at it a little differently maybe than what what these people that as they were telling Jesus, well, Moses gave us manna in the wilderness. You know, they had this, their thinking was, Paul was looking at it a little differently as to what had happened back, what really had happened back there. Though they were beautiful and powerful things. Paul says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat of the same spiritual meat, and did all drink of that same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And neither be ye idolaters as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, in samples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but is such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you might be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. This cup of blessing that we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel, after the flesh, are they not which eat of the sacrifices, partaker of the altar? What say I then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered to sacrifices idols, to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. And we'll come back to that maybe later. But we'd like to think a little bit about this account. Paul looks back, and he looks back at this great history of deliverance that Israel had. He looks back at that, and while there was many amazing things happened back there, his thought on the matter was that with many of them, God was not well pleased. God was not well pleased. He looked at the things that they went through, and Hebrews chapter 11 would tell us that the things that they heard didn't profit them because they didn't receive them by faith. And though Moses had faith, and they had leaders that had faith, many of the people did not have faith, and they suffered greatly before it because of it. So Paul is saying that these things are written for our admonition. And so as we think this morning of this bread from heaven, we'd like to examine a little bit some of these things before we go on to that, and just to reflect a little bit on things God has done in the past. So I'll read a few verses here in Exodus chapter 16. But this story of the manna is a beautiful story. This bread from heaven, it's a beautiful story. It's a beautiful account of a loving God who a deliverer, a God who loves his people, a God who longs to provide and care for his people. And we'll see some of that here as we read this. And so this morning, a God who loves and longs for his people, longs to be with them, longs to provide for them, longs to give them everything that they need. And so we read here in Exodus 16, we won't read the whole chapter, but here's this account. The people again murmuring against Moses. They're hungry. They need something. Moses cries out to the Lord, and they're saying some strong words. They say some strong words in this chapter. Some amazing thoughts that you'd never think would come out of the mouth of a man. But they say things like this: "Would to God that we had died in Egypt." I mean, you just think that those words would never, you know, these people had groaned in Egypt. They had such hardship and such burden in Egypt that you would never think that those thoughts would enter their mind. And yet here they are, sometime later, not all that long later, and they're murmuring against their leaders, and they're saying, "Would to God that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, because we had plenty of food there. I mean, we were comfortable. We had, I think they're forgetting a lot of things here. In my opinion, they're forgetting a lot of things. And that's reality. They are." And he said, said the Lord unto Moses, "Behold, I'll rain bread from heaven, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they walk in my law or no." And so that all happened. I'm not going to read all of that. We know the story. I'm not going to read all of that. First, he brought quail out of heaven, and so they had meat. They had flesh until they were sick of it. They didn't like it anymore. And then it came to pass. trying to find my verses here. I wasn't going to read all of this. I think it's verses 14 and 15. 14 and 15 here of Exodus 16. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost in the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, "It is manna," for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, "This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat." And so they were given instructions there that they should just get enough for each day. We know the story. And it says here that in verse 31, if you go to verse 31, "The house of Israel called the name thereof manna, and it was like coriander seed," now, I don't know if I'm saying that right, "white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. It was very good. It was sweet. It was something that was very good. Verse 35 says, "And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came into a land inhabited." They did eat manna until they came into the borders of the land of Canaan. And it was faithful. Two things I'd like to get out of this. It was good for them. It was everything they needed. And it was faithful. It was there every day. It was sufficient, and God was faithful in providing it for them. It was bread from heaven. It was bread from heaven. They could eat of it and not die. They could eat of it and live. Thank you. We read in our passage there in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it uses this phrase. It says they tempted Christ and were destroyed of the destroyer. They tempted Christ. And I ponder those verses. They tempted Christ, he said, and they were destroyed. And we read that it's referring to Numbers chapter 21. Numbers, and these things are written for our admonition, Paul says. These things are written for our admonition. Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 and 5, it says here that, and they journeyed, I'm in Numbers 21, verses 4 and 5, they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. The soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, "Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread." I think of those words. I think of the strong words that can come out of the mouth of a man who was once delivered, of someone who was once delivered from Egypt and out of the house of bondage. And that these words like this could come out of a man's mouth, that our soul loatheth this thing that you have provided. We don't care for it. We're tired of it. Strong words, but why did it happen? Because of the way. Their soul discouraged because of the way. The way got a little hard. That's all. God never stopped providing for them. God was still providing for them. God was giving them everything that they needed. But the way got a little hard, and their souls discouraged, and they want to turn back. Oh, there's strong words. I think I know we'll get into more encouraging things here later, but these things are written for our admonition. These things are written for our learning. When the way gets hard, God still provides. God doesn't stop providing. What was happening here? Well, what was really going on here? We read in Deuteronomy chapter 8 what really was happening. What really was happening? Their soul got tired of the miracle of God's deliverance. Their soul, they got tired of it. Well, why did it happen? Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, it says, "And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee to know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live." It was just all it was God's school. That's all it was. God was endeavoring to raise up a people that would honor him and love him and serve him, and he let things get a little hard along the way. Because he wanted them to learn that he would provide. Even when it gets hard, he'll provide. They didn't learn very well. I look at my own life, and these things speak to me. But God always provided for them. He never never left them, never hung them out to dry, so to speak, and left them. He always provided for them. And this manna is a beautiful illustration of God's faithful provision. But in this story, we are reminded of man's tendency to weary of God and to look to other things. We are just reminded of those things. May the Lord give us grace to persuade the brothers of better things of you. Yet I know that we're part of a humanity that is prone back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll move on here. I'd like to speak about the bread from heaven that we have today. We don't go out and gather manna in the morning. We'd like to speak about the bread from heaven that we have here today. Bread from heaven, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 16 and 17. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? Is the bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body. We are all partakers of that one bread. As we think about God, you know, as He looked down upon Israel and as He looked at their grumblings and they were hungry. It was reality. It wasn't, and yet God was just testing them. He wasn't going to let them starve. He would never do that. He was just testing them. And He looked down upon them, and in spite of their grumbling, He provided for them. And that is written, I believe, as an example to us of His mercy and of His long suffering and of His patience towards humanity. Those things are written that we would know the Lord, and that we would know who He is. But as God looks down here, and we're in the new covenant here, God looking down on a starving humanity. I trust you know that those of us that are accountable in here know what I mean. But a broken and needy, a wretched and hurting humanity. That's what we see in the world today. Hurting and lost and hopeless, complaining. But that's not the worst of it. Rebellious and wicked. Rebellious and wicked. Enemies of God. And we could use many more words. We could put many more words. As God looks down on humanity today, that's and has for thousands of years, that's what He sees. That's what He looks at. Broken, wretched, hopeless. But in the midst of all of that, rebellious and wicked. And yet God looks down and he loves them. I don't understand it. It's hard to understand. Maybe I should say it that way. And He sends bread for them. Bread from heaven. That a man may eat thereof and not die. A bread that's sufficient. A bread that is everything that they need. It's all encompassing. He's everything that we need. That bread of life. The Lord Jesus Christ. Brought a little illustration along this morning for the children. Thinking about bread. I brought a few things along here. Speaking of that bread from heaven. Brought along here. So one of the basic ingredients for bread. as we think of the Lord Jesus, one of the basic ingredients for bread is wheat. You can make it with different grains, but grain, wheat, and I've got some wheat in here. And I've got the same thing in this jar. This is wheat too, but it's in a different form. It's ground up wheat. It's flour. We call it flour, but it's the same thing. Same thing in both jars. Ingredients for bread. One of the basic ingredients for bread is wheat. Wheat in this form is not very palatable. It's not easy to digest. It's not as usable. It can be used in the natural, yes, but it's not as usable. It's not as good. In this form, it can be used for a lot of different things. It's very life-giving. When wheat is ground up, it can be. Bread is one of the universal foods, one of the global foods that, in various forms, in various different grains, grain is ground up and made into food in different, probably most cultures. The grain is ground up and it's sifted. We'd like to examine some of those things today. And that which is inside is exposed. That which is hidden in each kernel of wheat. In each kernel of wheat, there's an embryo. There's a germ. There's life in each kernel of wheat. And we know the illustration that if you take that kernel of wheat out and you plant it, something will grow from it. It gives life also if you grind it up, and it can be used for food. Like to the Lord Jesus is that bread from heaven, and he was. We'd like to examine that a little bit today. You know that life inside. We like to use the illustration of the will. The life inside the will, and you know our Lord Jesus' will didn't need to be broken. It didn't need to be broken, but it needed to be exposed, and for that purpose, his body was broken. That a man may eat thereof and not die. His body was broken to reveal his love. That a man might look upon it. That a man might look upon the love of God and that his heart could be changed. And that a man could live. And for that purpose, He became that bread from heaven. So we'd like to examine that journey a little bit. You know, in Hebrews chapter 10 tells us that it was voluntary. Hebrews chapter 10 tells us that he was given a body, or in other words, he volunteered. He was in heaven. That journey began. Before man was created, that journey began when the Lord Jesus said, he volunteered, he voluntarily of his own will said, I will go and do something about this. I will go. And a body was prepared for him. Philippians chapter 2 says that he humbled himself and became a man and became of no reputation. He came as a baby, a helpless little baby. Who was subject and had and needed to be cared for, and yet he was God. He was our Creator. He was the one that man should have been worshiping, and yet he became that. Philippians 2 tells us that he came as a servant. He came as a child. He spent years just maturing, growing up, and serving his parents and being subject to them and growing in favor with God and man. He was humble and lowly, and yet he was our Creator. He was the King of Kings. It was that process of becoming bread from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. As he looked down upon lost and broken humanity, this was what he was willing to do. He said, I'll go. I'll do that. And as a man, he grew to maturity. And as a man, he was sinless. not one act of selfishness. Never serving himself. Instead, walked among this broken humanity and loved them. Not just broken, but wicked and enemies. He walked among them. He came and walked among us. And a song that we sometimes sing at home, I don't know if we know it here. The song that we sometimes sing at home, I like it. My children, it's a little difficult song to sing, but the song is, Were You There? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Were you there? We were there. We were there. We were there. We're part of Adam. We were there. We were there. We were there. We were part of that mob that said, crucify him. We want nothing to do with this man. We were there. And he walked among them. And he served them. He loved them. He healed them. And gave his life for them. Never, never lost sight of God's will. Never lost sight. Always there to do the will of God. That he might be bread from heaven for us. Maybe some of you are still there. Maybe some of you are still there. I want nothing to do with that man. Maybe that's still who I am. Maybe I would never say that. Maybe I would never shake my fist. But that's my life. That's who I am. I won't submit to that man. He requires too much of me. I won't give up my life. But I'd like to say this morning, he became bread from heaven for you. He became bread from heaven for you. That you might eat thereof and not die. His life reveals the beauty of selflessness. The beauty of selflessness. We see it in his life. He was just selfless. And it's such a beautiful thing, and yet man in our natural state, we love self. We love power and macho and individualism, and we love all those things. But a broken man sees beauty in selflessness. And we strive after that. That's what we want. Lord, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer. He became bread for us, that bread from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I'd like to look at a few verses in Luke. Luke 22, we'll look at a few verses here. There's so much that could be said. As the Lord Jesus allowed that kernel of wheat, as he allowed it to be ground up into bread for us. Luke 22, verse 39, it says that they, verse 39, we read here that he came out and went as was wont. I'm in Luke 22, verse 39, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel from unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and came to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye fall into temptation. what I wanted here, kind of read further than I planned to here, but his prayer, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. That kernel of wheat, that kernel of wheat was broken. He said, not my will, but thine, Lord. That the self was shattered. It was broken. It wasn't in his life. It never had control. And we see that here. Revealing that submission and the beauty of it is revealed here in these verses. The beauty of his submission. Verse 50, we read some more here. We read in verse 50 that one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, Suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. They were there taking him captive. They were there binding him and taking him to trial. And he's returning good for evil. He's returning good for evil. He touches this man and heals his ear. And that's our Lord Jesus. It's our Lord Jesus. Bread from heaven for us. Bread from heaven for us. Verse 70 in the same chapter. And then said they all, art thou then the Son of God? And he said unto them, ye say that I am. And they said, what need we further witnesses? For we ourselves have heard of this of his own mouth. And he testified. He was willing to testify them to them, even at the cost of his life. He wasn't willing at that point, not willing to back down and say what they wanted to hear, so they'd let him go. But he testified to his own hurt. He was willing to do that for you and I this morning. We'll go on to chapter 23 there, verse 11. I'm just picking out verses here. And then Herod with his men of war set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. The term there, set him at naught, it means they degraded him. They degraded him. He was the most beautiful. His character, his disposition, his life, it was the most beautiful life ever to walk on this earth. And they mocked him. They mocked him. Were you there? We were there. We were there. When we resist him, that's still who we are. We mock him. Want nothing to do with him. Oh, I don't think that's beautiful at all. I have better plans with my life. I have other things I'd rather do. I don't see any beauty in him at all. They degraded him. They set him at naught, and they mocked him. And they said things like, oh, you're a king then. You're a king. Let's say put a robe on him. Won't read all the verses, but they scourged him. They went from there, and Pilate tried to deliver him. We know the account. But Pilate tried to see if he could somehow deliver him, and he thought if maybe he'd have him scourged, maybe they'd let him go, and of course it didn't work, but they scourged him. They took the king. They took the king of glory, and they took a whip to him. I say, well, I would never do that. I would never do that. But I think of the years that the Lord Jesus tried to work in my life, and I just went my own way. I just went my own way. And some of us sitting in here this morning are still doing that. Would you take a whip to the back of our Lord Jesus, the beautiful one, the desire of the ages, and you take a scourge to his back? Would you do that? You say, well, I'd never do that. But that's what you're doing. That's what you're doing. They took a crown of thorns and they made this crown of thorns And they put it on his head, and they used their staff, and they'd hit that thing, and they'd drive those thorns into his, one of the most sensitive parts of your body is your head. Were you there? Were you there when they plucked out his beard? Were you there? Same chapter, verse 33, it says, "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And then said Jesus," you know, I don't know, I reading the other gospels, sometimes some of these things aren't maybe in clear order. Here it says that they crucified him. "And then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. For they know not what they do. And they parted his raiments and cast lots." And I'd like to say this morning that we're all there too. We're all there too. He said, he prayed that for you and I this morning. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing." He prayed that. We were there too in his prayer. He prayed for us. He prayed that for us. What are you going to do with Jesus? What will you do with the bread from heaven? What will you do with the bread from heaven? He forgave them. The beauty of this man. Verse 46 says in the same chapter, verse 46, "And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said this, he gave up the ghost." He gave his life. He died. He died there. He gave his life this morning. And there was a crowd of people standing around there. There was a crowd of people standing around there gazing on, and some were mocking, some were weeping, some were, and he gave his life for each one of them. And we were there. We were there. We were there. We were there. He did that for us. Verse 53 says that there was a man, Joseph of Arimathea. This man went to Pilate and begged the body of the Lord Jesus, and he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in a stone wherein never man before was laid. And he was buried. He was buried. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the creator of the earth, was buried in the earth that he created. The one who created this earth was buried. He gave his body to be buried in a tomb. In this cold earth, and it was love. You know, the motivation was love. But we thank God this morning that's not the end of the story. That's not the end of the story. Chapter 24 tells us that on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed, thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, they bowed down their faces to the earth. They said unto them, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen," says in the other gospel. Or here it says that, "He is not here, but is risen." He arose. We celebrate that this morning. We remember that he arose. We need to move on here. He spent a number of days with them. We know this. He spent a number of days with them, and If you go to chapter 24, the end of chapter 24, it says here that verse 44, these are words, the last chapter of Luke 24, I'm sorry, verse 44. He said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then he opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. And they said unto him, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things." Does that bring joy to your heart this morning? To all nations, hallelujah, even Allen County, Indiana. The gospel was preached, hallelujah. "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, the promise of the Holy Ghost. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God." Amen. He ascended. He ascended. Went back to heaven. We'll turn back to John chapter 6. He ascended that he might become our living bread. John chapter 6, verse 47. We need to bring this to a close. John chapter 6, verse 47. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life." Verse 54 says, "Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed." We have two verses here. We have one that says, "He that believeth on me hath everlasting life." We have another verse that says, "He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." And so we must conclude here this morning that we partake of this bread and this wine, we partake of it by faith. It is an act of faith to submit my will to the Lord Jesus Christ and to partake of him. We do it by faith this morning. The bread and wine that we have up here are symbolic. We're not eating and drinking literally of the bread and blood of Jesus this morning. We do that by faith. It is an act of faith that we submit our will, submit our lives to him. But we'd like to look at one more thing here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 yet. We'd like to bring out another aspect here that the Apostle Paul writes in chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians. We read this several times already. "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread." And I'd like to bring out the point here this morning that we, being many, are one bread. We, being many, are one bread. We partake of this communion. We partake of Christ together. We partake of him together. And and I'd like to just again use our illustration this morning. We are not individual kernels. We are individual souls, but we are called to allow these kernels. We are called to allow these kernels to be broken as his body was broken. We are called to allow our will to be broken and to be formed into something useful. That's the call that we have. And if we partake of that life, this is part of it. This is part of it. It's to allow our will to be broken as his was broken and to become part of one bread, one loaf, oneness. That's the call. We are here today to have communion together. The believers become one loaf when we eat of him. Our communion, it becomes a common union. That's what the word means. It's a common union. We partake of Christ and we become one in him. That's where he's going. And I was thinking, you know, the wheat gets broken. The wheat gets ground up, it gets broken, and then sometimes if you want to make something special with it, you sift it. You sift it. We have one of these. I used to use one of these for my grandma when I was a little boy. I'd sift wheat for her. She did a lot of baking. But wheat gets sifted. It gets broken, and then it gets sifted. The Lord sifts it, and he sifts out the parts that don't bake so well, and he makes a finer bread. And the Lord's doing that in our lives. The Lord is at work in our lives. But we need to yield to him and allow him to break us. When we become broken and we partake of that bread, his wheat, that life, his life becomes part of it. That's what gives it life. That's what gives it life. That loaf of bread. So we're here together this morning because he is our life. That bread from heaven. We eat of him. When we eat of him, it makes us one. It makes us one. That's not optional this morning. We become one with the body of Christ. And it's not optional. It makes us one. And there's a purpose in it. The purpose that the world can see Jesus and also eat of that bread. We give our lives. We give our lives because he gave his for his glory. Verse 23 here, I'd like to speak just a little bit on this. You cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the table and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. You know, that's a beautiful thing this morning. The beautiful thing this morning to be gathered as saints, to worship the Most High God, to celebrate this communion together. One of the great blessings this morning is that we gather in a way that is holy. We gather here today without sin. Without sin. Because of his blood and our yielding to him and to our in repentance and faith and being cleansed by his blood, we gather here today without leaven. There's not two tables here today. There's not a table of devils here today. We gather because he has made us clean. We gather because he has cleansed us. And we eat a bread that is unleavened, that typifies that. That's what they did in the Passover. Makes me weep this morning. An unleavened communion. How can it be? We who were enemies of God, lost, haters of God, filled with malice and wickedness. How can we have an unleavened communion? It's because of that bread from heaven that a man may eat thereof and not die. Not die. First Corinthians chapter 5 says this. that your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Hallelujah. The unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I would like to bring us to a close this morning in communion. In this common union, in this we are in this oneness this morning, we testify that we are eating and drinking of Jesus Christ. It's who we are this morning. And we testify, as we partake of this communion, we testify that we are eating and drinking of Jesus Christ, and that we are part of His body. We testify this morning that we've had a personal Gethsemane. That we've had a personal Gethsemane, and that we have yielded this kernel of wheat that was mine. We've given it. We've given it and allowed the Lord to break it. We testify of that. And we testify that we're one body. We're willing to become part of that loaf, that one bread that will glorify and honor the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning we remember, in this communion we remember, I'll read here in one more passage here. We remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we remember, Paul says here, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, in the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." Oh, his body was broken for you this morning, for us. 2,000 years later, his body was broken for us, that a man may eat thereof and not die. And we remember that this morning. We remember that in this communion, we remember that Jesus Christ, the Savior, loved us, gave his life that we might not die, that we might live forever, that we might have life in this life and live forever. Hallelujah. We remember, and after the same manner, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, so oft as ye drink in remembrance of him. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." I'd like to close with that. Till he come. We're called to do this till he come. And he will come. He will come. Lord Jesus gave his life for us. And he will come and receive his bride. He will come. We share a blessed moment here. It's a joy. It's a joy to share this communion with you. Brother Jonas shared this morning reflecting last night over the last 20 years and thinking of all that God has done, thinking of the victories and the joys, the progress, thinking of the trials, the journey, you know, the failures, the disappointments, and we're here this morning, and it's a joy. We share a blessed moment. The Lord has been so good to us. was thinking of that last night. I was thinking of, give me my voice here, but I was thinking of all that the Lord has done, thinking of the battles that we've faced, the journey that we've had, the deliverances, the testimonies, the communions, it's a joy to be here. Maybe we could, maybe we just rise and pray together. Heavenly Father, we worship you. We thank you for your goodness to us, Lord. Thank you for the blessing that we have here together today, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, as we consider this bread from heaven, Lord, that you provided for us. And as we share, Lord, in this communion service today, Father, I pray that you would bless each one, Lord. Lord, as we partake of this bread, Lord, we say, first of all, my own heart, Lord, I desire to partake more deeply, Lord. I desire to know more fully what you have provided, what you have given for us, Lord. I desire to that in my walk with you, Lord, I would learn more, that I would grow deeper, Father. And so today, Father, I pray that you would just bless each one as we partake here. Lord, we worship you. We do this for your glory and in remembrance of you, Father. We desire to do this until you return. We look to you today, Father, and we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. I will pass out the bread here, and I'll just, you can remain standing. I will just as we normally do, I'll give to the head of the house, and then you can take enough for your family. Maybe we could have a little singing. I was thinking we could, maybe someone could lead 416, and then we'll have a little singing once we pass out the bread.
Change of plans, Father.